Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Please tell me about Gwen Stefani.
I wish. Well, Gwen Stefani, back when she was worth something.
Whoa. You ain't no Holland Batgirl?
God, no.
You know what? I think that shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
I hate you. I'm ending this call.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is the Sound Waves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, and it distributes free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture, and it's available every place cool. In this episode, we talk to the good people at Best Friends Animal Society, we talk to Black Puss, and we talk to the Utah Humane Society as well. It's a pet-heavy show. You've tuned into the right place. We are super happy to welcome Tema Martin from the Best Friends Animal Society, which many of you may know from the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary down in Kanab, which certainly is one of the more prominent projects of the place. Tema, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Really appreciate that. Why don't we just start with sort of giving people the basic kind of lowdown of what Best Friends is for people who might not be familiar.
Sure. Best Friends Animal Society, our sanctuary in Kanab, Utah, is the largest no-kill animal sanctuary in the United States. This animal society has been around for about close to 30 years now.
Wow.
And we have, at any given time, between about 1,500 and 2,000 animals down there. Most of the animals come from either abuse or cruelty situations or shelters that where they've run out of time. But of course, we get requests all the time. We can't take all the animals.
Sure.
It would be wonderful if we could. But the animals that we do take in, we guarantee them a spot there for the rest of their lives. So all the animals are up for adoption. People adopt special needs animals all the time that you would think, why would somebody want to take a 13-year-old cat with cancer?
Oh,
but
right.
People do. And
that's
so
amazing.
All of them are available for adoption. We do have, quite a bit of turnover. We get as many of them adopted as possible. And those that don't get adopted, we're always hopeful that their time will come. But if not, they can stay there for the rest of their lives.
And you get animals from across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everywhere. And it's not just cats and dogs. You guys get some exotic pets that people maybe couldn't take care of or things like that? Or
We do have a wildlife rehab area. We also get a lot of horses and a lot of pot-bellied pigs. People get them thinking they're going to be teacup, and then they, weigh 150 pounds,
right,
and they don't want them anymore. And rabbits, birds, we have a huge parrot garden down there.
Wow.
So we do get quite a variety. Of course, the majority are dogs and cats, but we're open to helping anyone who needs help.
Well, and I've known quite a few people over the years who have spent their spring break, mm-hmm, or family vacation going down and volunteering there. Is that a big part of kind of what keeps the sanctuary going anyway?
Mm-hmm. I think the name for that is voluntourism.
Yeah, right.
a lot of people do that. We have thousands of volunteers every year. People, it's a beautiful place to visit, even if you're just going to tour it and check it out. But the people who do have time and the desire to actually get hands-on and get involved go down there and stay for days, weeks, sometimes months. Sometimes people try it and decide to give up their day job in New York City and move to the sanctuary and work there. So there's a whole variety of options, from just visiting to moving there permanently.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do love to, they maybe are members, they follow us online.
Sure.
And then they want to get there and actually be involved and help the animals. So that's definitely
that's
welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about programs that you have a little closer to home here, mm-hmm, in Salt Lake City? I know that's you guys do a lot more than just the sanctuary. What are some of the
Absolutely.
Other things?
Besides the sanctuary is our headquarters, we actually have programs all over the country where we're supporting other shelters and rescue groups in their efforts to become no-kill. So we're sort of a leader in the no-kill movement. Specifically in northern Utah, we have our group that was started in 2000, originally called No More Homeless Pets in Utah.
Oh, right.
It's now called Best Friends Animal Society Utah. We adopted the group back.
Oh, okay.
that group has done an amazing job in Utah. 2012 was actually our best year ever since starting in 2000. The rate of animals killed in shelters has dropped by 51.5%.
Awesome.
We've spayed and neutered, or supported the spay and neuter of over 200,000 animals. About 350,000 animals have been adopted during that time. So 2012 actually saw the lowest number of animals entering shelters, the highest number adopted, and the lowest rate of animals being killed in Utah since 2000. So we're very excited about that. Our goal is actually to bring Utah, the whole state of Utah, to what would be considered no-kill status by 2016. So we've got a long road ahead of us. We've made great progress, and basically what we ask people to do, if they believe in ending the killing in shelters, we ask people to please adopt their next pet rather than buying from a breeder or a pet store or an online retailer. If you have a pet already, get it spayed or neutered before it has even one intentional or accidental litter.
Right.
And if you do have a pet, make the effort to keep that pet for life. Keep your own pets out of the shelters. Make a commitment to keep them. Work through any, you know, all pets have their own little issues, and especially if you don't train them, they're going to have issues because they don't know how to behave. So make the commitment and the effort to make that pet, you know, a family member for life. And we really believe we can do that. We would be the, you know, I believe the first no-kill state in the nation.
Now, do you find, and I don't know if this is too broad a brush, but do most animals find their way to you guys through, like, people's homes who weren't able to handle them? Or is it from more like, you know, a dogfighting ring operation? Or is there any way to say that most animals...
It's everything. I mean, probably our most famous case was the 22 dogs we took from the Michael Vick case.
Yeah.
So it's all kinds of things. Sometimes we do... we have situations where partner group, like we have a group, our network charities, our network partners, our shelters and rescue groups throughout the country that believe in the same thing that we believe in, and we, you know, support them in a variety of ways. Sometimes those partner shelters will have an animal that they just are struggling with getting them adopted, and so sometimes we do a trade. We'll take a difficult animal, give them a couple of our easy animals.
Something easier to adopt out. Nice.
Right, okay. And so some of them are just shelter pets that for whatever reason are being overlooked, and some of them are cruelty cases. Some of them are, you know, coming from a bad environment like the Michael Vick kennel.
Right.
And everything in between.
And how do you go about, in terms of just working in Utah to try to make it a no-kill state, I mean, do you guys physically go out to different shelters, or do the shelters contact you and say, hey, we have 5 dogs this week who we haven't been able to adopt out and we need the space, or how does that work?
That's actually probably the smallest part of what we do, is actually moving animals around.
Sure.
More of what we do is help shelters. For example, we partner, have been for a number of years, we partner very closely with Salt Lake County Animal Services.
Okay.
Best Friends has staff that are there, you know, throughout the week, helping them with adoptions. We just started at Salt Lake County Animal Services a new kitten nursery, which is a separate building. It's a trailer where people will take shifts bottle feeding neonatal kittens, you know, these like baby kittens that come in without a mom and need to be bottle fed.
Oh, wow.
So those kittens don't actually even have to enter the shelter, so they don't get exposed to anything else from the other animals.
Right.
They have care, you know, 24 hours a day. People are taking shifts in the middle of the night to warm them and bottle feed them and take care of them. So those lives were otherwise lives that are difficult to save because they get sick. It's hard to find people to bottle feed them. And that's, you know, something that we set up in partnership with them.
Okay.
We do adoption events with them. We help them with marketing. You know, we have our marketing team come up with concepts and posters and promotions, and then we just give those to the shelters to help them out. So we're also working with Davis County Animal Control or Animal Services, and also West Valley City.
Okay.
So all these shelters, you know, we basically are sharing our expertise, we're sharing our staff, helping them get to where, you know, they also will, you know, they're all on the road to becoming no-kill. So transfer of animals is probably the smallest part of that. It's more, you know, getting in
helping
there.
Helping them
and,
right where they're at.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Helping
okay.
them get their own animals adopted. It's, discounted and low cost and free spay neuter all over the state is one big way, because obviously every litter that isn't born is, you know, fewer animals that end up in the shelter.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little about the pet super adoption, that this will air or go online right around the time for that. What is that all about, and when and the where is for everybody?
Okay. Well, this is actually our 13th year of the pet super adoption. We do 2 a year, so this is our spring event. And we're actually in a new place for the first time since the year 2000 when we started. We're going to be at the State Fair Park, and it's May 17th, 18th, and 19th. And we will have about 16 local shelters and rescue groups.
Oh, wow.
Will be here from all over the state, bringing their animals.
That's huge.
In the 13 years that we've been doing this, we estimate we've had about 10,000 adoptions.
Wow.
So it's really exciting. It's the neat thing about the super adoption is for the people who want to adopt, but they feel maybe overwhelmed going into a shelter and trying to pick one dog out of 100 dogs take home. It's a fun kind of carnival-like atmosphere. People can go in and walk around, and there's a bounce house for the kids and food and all kinds of. It's a fun environment. It's a little bit less intimidating for the people that are really sensitive to going in and seeing all the animals at one time in the shelter.
Yeah.
So it's really an amazing event, and so many great groups bring their animals. We usually have about 800 to 1,000 animals through the 3-day weekend that are up for adoption. Our goal is usually to place at least 400, but if we exceed that, that's always good.
That'd be awesome.
We love the stories of some of the smaller shelters actually, between the adoptions they do and the rescue groups that take their leftovers. Some of the shelters go back and
go home empty.
There's nobody left behind. So
that's awesome. And it's not just cats and dogs too, right? Like there'll be some of the birds you were mentioning, things
actually,
like that.
Actually, no, that's down at the sanctuary. So this is just cats and dogs. Oh, okay. Some of the other, we do 4 super adoptions throughout the country. We do one in New York one in LA and one in St. George, and then this one. I believe that New York's the only one that has birds and bunnies as well. These are all dogs and
more
cats.
More of a bird friendly city living, right?
That's right. Okay. For those who have really small apartments and can only have a bunny. It's again May 17th through 19th. It starts Friday at noon to 7 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And adoption fees are set by the individual groups. They start at $25 for cats and $50 for dogs. And the animals are spayed or neutered, vaccinated, and microchipped. So they're all ready to go.
That's a screaming deal.
Yeah, it really is. It's actually far cheaper than getting a free pet and then having all those things done.
So. No kidding. Where can people find you guys online if they want to find some more info, things like that?
If you want to know more about Best Friends as an organization, you just go to bestfriends.org. If you go under our events online, you'll find super adoption information. And if you want to know more about Best Friends Animal Society Utah, specifically our Utah activities, you go to bestfriends.org/Utah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. That's easy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Tama.
I really appreciate
it. Admire what you guys do. I don't know how you ever walk out of one of those events without like another 4 or 5 dogs.
Yeah, I have 3 dogs and 3 cats and a kid at home, so we're full.
That's a good start, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
We have right here in our hot little hands a brand new release, a little super group of sorts for those of you who pay attention to local music, and all of you should. This group includes Eli Morrison, Josh Dixon, Greg Nidgley, and Michael Sasich. It is The Moths, and they have a brand new release. We're going to play a song called Open My Veins.
Destruction. I want to go with no one.
going to just tell you to go out there and hit some record stores and look for this. This is a great little release. It's a limited edition. We're looking at number 179 of 300 in my hot little hands, but it's definitely worth checking out. Keep an eye out for the Moths in our weekly daily calendar space and go catch a live show whenever you can. Black Puss is the one-man side project of musician Brian Chippendale, who you might know as the drummer from rock duo Lightning Bolt, one of the most kick-ass groups around. His side project, Black Puss, has been around since 2005, and he has a new record called All My Relations. We had our writer, Alex Cragen, talk to him a little bit about the new album and about his upcoming tour.
So recently you released the album All My Relations, which was a solo album and recorded as such. Do you perform as a soloist?
Yeah, totally. I'm doing a month tour and it'll all be performed solo.
Okay, and what do you typically use to convey your music?
To make all the sounds?
Yes.
It's pretty simple. It's a drum set. Mm-hmm. And then I have a vocal microphone. And then the vocal microphone gets run through like a couple effects pedal, like a delay, and then I can do loops. Mm-hmm. I can do live loops. And then I have an oscillator on the bass drum, which is just like a little box that kind of kicks off this electronic tone. And then that goes through a bunch of different kind of textural pedals, and then also a loop pedal. I mean, the basis for songs will be like sort of a distinctive beat, and then kind of like a tone usually that I kind of color with a bunch of different effects. And then I'll do a loop of maybe some vocals and maybe a loop of the oscillator too to kind of add in, I don't know what, guitar solos or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's pretty simple, but it starts, I can kind of build stuff up as I go and it kind of thickens.
Right. You're known for being in the band also Lightning Bolt. Does the process differ when it comes to writing on your own as Black Puss as opposed to we're writing as a pair in Lightning Bolt?
It does kind of. Both things are pretty much written, like all the Lightning Bolt stuff, I mean 95% of it has all been written just out of jamming together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Black Puss stuff is pretty much the same. I mean, it's different in that, you know, I'm not playing with this other guy. So I'm not kind of getting, not bouncing ideas off of someone or kind of getting inspirations from someone else. I mean, the way the pedals work and the way the loops work, I can kind of, like I use the Line 6 digital delay pedals, or they're like DL4s, I think they're called. But they have these features where you can like turn a loop around and slow it down and start it at the end of it, start at the beginning of it, like all kind of with your left foot. As a drummer, I use my left foot instead of in place of the hi-hat. So I can kind of sing a line or play an oscillator line and record it on that thing. And then I can kind of mess around with it as I play and suddenly it's doing these weird, you know, it's like, oh, it's backwards and twice as fast. So it suggests like new melodies.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, my machines, they're not completely predictable. Like they kind of inspire me in their own way by just combining what I'm doing in new ways. So there's a little bit of an extra person in the band, it feels like sometimes.
Right, sort of like an element of like almost improv as we
Yeah, an element of improv. And then there's, of course, when the stuff just is acting really weird and then it actually is. And it just starts kind of thinking for itself and not working or working wrong.
Previous albums as Black Puss, All My Relations sounds a lot cleaner in comparison. Did you use a different process as opposed to the previous ones?
Yeah, this one, I mean, the old, everything up to this one has all been home recorded. So
mm-hmm.
It's like four-track recordings. I guess generally four-track recordings. There might be like me taking a stab at a computer recording in there somewhere. But so it's probably like a simpler sound. And then the new one, I went to a studio. There's a studio just outside the town, a studio called Machines with Magnets, which I think they're probably highest profile thing they did is the last two Battles records there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got everything, you know, it's all Pro Tools or tape if you want it, but I did Pro Tools. All the details are really apparent now. So in a way it's grimier because you can just hear so much, but each individual element is probably cleaner in its own way.
Right.
Where the four track stuff that I usually do, which is cassette, kind of grimy stuff up, but there's a certain simplicity to that home recording. So, yeah, it's pretty different. This is a new kind of a new step for this project.
When you were in Lightning Bolt, it's been known for performing on the ground level with the audience rather than playing at a raised stage. Is there a philosophy attached to that, and do you practice that philosophy or as Black Puss?
Lightning Bolt's original philosophy was really just trying to figure out what made sense, which for the first bunch of years in our as a band, it always made sense to play on the floor because there would be, not that many people there, or I don't know, just the way rooms were set up, we thought we had a better idea of how to set ourselves up in a room.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of in the last couple of years it's become, and also just to be we're playing for our friends, why would you want to be raised up above your friends? Because we started out, all bands, just kind of playing for people we knew.
Right.
And we didn't necessarily want that to change when we, started playing for strangers, so we kind of kept it on that, on a very personal level. That approach has been kind of challenged in the last bunch of years because some of the shows have just gotten bigger.
Right.
We've probably talked more about that than we have about music making, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We're just constantly trying to figure out what to do about it because we like the idea and it is part of our identity. But at the same time, when you're playing for 20 people and you play on the floor, it's a really intimate, really personal thing. But if you're playing for 400 people and you play on the floor, then suddenly it's kind of exclusive for the people in the front.
Right, right.
So what we've been doing, and this is the same with Black Puss, for Black Puss I will play, wherever it seems it makes the most sense. Because the original idea for Lightning Bolt is that we're going to play in the spot that makes the most sense. And I think that kind of got morphed into we always play on the floor. So we're kind of trying to go back to the original idea of just what makes the most sense. We're kind of changing our dogmatic approach to a more lenient thing. So and that'll apply to me solo too.
Right.
But Lightning Bolt and Black Puss brings the entire, I have the whole sound system. I can absolutely play small or medium room without the sound system that they have in the club, so I can play anywhere. I got a lot of gear.
Music clearly an experimental quality to it. I mean, how did you initially get involved with that aspect of modern music, and why that as opposed to, say, hardcore punk or noise rock or electronic music?
I don't know. It's funny. It's you go down these paths, and it's luck, what door opened at what time, kind of. I mean, I grew up listening to metal and then kind of segued into more. I mean, when I was a kid, I was all Slayer and I don't know what. I mean, this was a long time ago, so it was Anthrax, Slayer,
Megadeth,
yeah. Or something. And then later on, I got into other stuff. I got really into Amreth stuff in the 90s, which was Helmet and Cows, and at the same time, I was getting really into Boredoms and other Japanese Boredoms, almost being the most conservative of some of the stuff, Merzbo or Masana, which are real pure noise artists in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of segueing, from metal into noise rock and then just pure noise kind of coming out of the States and out of Japan. And then I kind of went into some jazz stuff around to say funny things, around the turn of the century, which seems such a weird phrase, where I was really into Sun Ra and then but at the same time listening to Judas Priest or something.
Mm.
So it's, I mean, some people do qualify it as noise rock, what I do, but we just sort of stubbornly done our own thing, and it kind of carved out its own little niche. I mean, for Lightning Bolt, I think Black Puss kind of carries on in this, it's very drum oriented, it's very aggressive. I mean, Lightning Bolt's obviously made up of heavy riffs too, but we sort of have our own approach, which maybe it just comes from either me, myself, or the two of us in Lightning Bolt making music for such a long time. It's very defined, but it's also very kind of unique. It has its own personality. So it's kind of been this weird, weird slow crawl of a journey through stuff. And now, of course, I'm kind of just, for whatever reason that I adopted this little oscillator and got these vocal pedals and stuff, now I'm kind of working with what I have. And so just kind of exploring these things, which are relatively simple things. I think throughout all of it, the idea has been to make the most out of kind of simple approach.
Mm-hmm. say minimalism. I think that's the next thing that's going to be coming is minimalism, because here in the, in, you know, what's been going on in the pop stations and all that is just overproduced, and there's, you know, there are 12 members to a band, and you know, there's no real, not much going on per se musically. It's very stagnant.
I think it's nice to just bring it back. There's a place for everything, because there's definitely things I listen to that are just like sick with people, and I'm kind of jealous of that sometimes. Like, I want to be in a band with a whole bunch of people and then like do less in the band, kind of like not have the whole thing riding on my shoulders. But then, I don't know, if you're looking to have a really personal experience and to be able to control the energy or something, like keeping it just down to a couple people is nice, because you get all, you know, reap all the glory too. Or if it just is a failure, then I don't know what, maybe it's easier to hide if there's just one of you.
To find out more about Black Puss and to get their tour dates, visit them online at facebook.com/blackpussmusic. And that's music with a K, people. This is your totally kick-ass weekly daily calendar for the week of May 14th through May 20th. And as always, I will encourage you to go to slugmag.com every damn day. Check out the listings. There's always new stuff being added there. I peruse them and grab out the highlights that I like, but there's always all kinds of goodies in there. On this particular week, we have the fine Damian Jurado, great singer-songwriter. He's playing at Big Cartel on Tuesday, the 14th of May. That same night, local rock and rollers, the Wild Ones at Willie's. If you can find a cheaper drink and a more rockin' band on a Tuesday night, you let me know where it is. That'll be a great one. On Wednesday, May 15th, the Flowbots bring a little of their hip-hop styles to the complex. That should be a great show. Those guys hail out of Denver, a fine little band. Same night, if you like the rootsy rock and roll, as I do, Junior Brown, one of the most ridiculous guitar players you'll ever see, is headlining at the Stateroom. He plays a pedal steel and a regular guitar that are on one contraption that he calls the Git Steel. It's a freakish thing to see. He has some great old-time country and some great rock and roll, rockabilly style in there. Locals, the Hollerin' Pines, are opening on that show. On Friday, the 17th of May, Fictionist over at the Stateroom, getting ready to release their Atlantic debut. They're doing a little touring, and this will be a local stop for them. That should be a great show. That same night, the Living Traditions Festival starts over at the City County Building in Salt Lake City. Always a great opportunity to check out sounds from around the world, eat some awesome food from your myriad food options over there from all over the planet. Always a great time. One of my favorite things. That same day, the Pet Super Adoption from the Best Friends starts. That's on the 17th through the 19th out at the Utah State Fairgrounds. Saturday, the 18th of May, we have Eons and God's Revolver bringing some serious rock and roller to the Shred Shed right in downtown Salt Lake City. And the Psych Rock Kings, Black Moth Super Rainbow, are headlining at Urban Lounge that very same night. I don't know how you're going to choose, but you'll want to choose one of those. Finally, on Monday, May 20th, one of my personal favorites, a band that literally spent a good 20 years not coming to Salt Lake City after first playing at the Speedway back in the late 80s. They've come back a few times since. They got back reacquainted with our city. Yola Tango, Newark, New Jersey's finest, or maybe Hoboken actually. Just know they're from New Jersey. Awesome trio, indie rock. New album Fade is a killer one. Ira, great singer, always a worthwhile show. They're headlining at the Stateroom. No opening act for that one, so get over there early and wallow in the squalling feedback of Yola Tango. Always a favorite. Once again, be sure to check in at slugmag.com all the time for updated listings. You can add your own events to that thing, and that is free, and for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality content to your listings. We have a little bit of a blast from the past here with our second music selection of the episode. This also comes from Eli Morrison, who, along with Riley Fogg, are probably the two longest-running members of Ether. For people who don't remember, the long-running Salt Lake City band, they are putting out a two-disc collection called the Ether Archive. Two discs of stuff recorded between 1993 and 2013. Pretty amazing. Again, you're going to have to get out there and look for this. We have some awesome cover art from Sri Whipple on the CD. We don't have a track listing, so we're going to call this number two from disc two from the new Ether Archive collection. Thank you. percussion heavy, and we love that so much. That's part why we can't list all the members. There's probably 14 drummers on that track. But again, Ether Archive, go out and find it if you can. Maybe Raunch Records, something like that. Always some good stuff. Back to the pet theme, we have the Humane Society of Utah now. Carl Arkey, representative of the organization, talked to our senior writer, Gavin Hoffman. The Humane Society of Utah is another pet adoption organization, much like Best Friends. They were founded in 1960, and they house a volunteer-based shelter and a clinic that focuses on neglected and abused animals, and as well as aiding ill and special needs animals. Gavin Hoffman talked to Carl Arkey about the society and about the work they're doing to help pets find homes.
So tell us a little bit about the organization itself, what your, you know, kind of what you do, what the goals are, success rate in terms of adoptions,
sure.
Things like that.
We save lives.
Yes.
Save lives. Yeah, I mean, if you really want to boil it down to what we do, we're saving lives. Try to do that as best as we can every day, 7 days a week, just about 365 days a year. We're only closed, I think, on New Year's Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. I think those are the only three days that we're closed. And so the other 362 days, is it? We're out there and we're trying to do our best to find homes for homeless animals. We're trying to convince people to adopt rather than buy animals. Buy dogs, buy cats, those types of things. We are an advocate. We're a spokesperson or an organization that speaks out on behalf of animals. We're involved with the state legislature quite a bit. We've been around for 53 years, and so we're one of the older animal welfare organizations in the state of Utah and in the West, and there's quite a few organizations, and they all do good work, and
right.
and all do it in their own ways and in different ways, and people have different philosophies about how to do it and how to get the job done. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting industry, the animal welfare industry, but I think what it boils down to is we're there to save as many lives as we can and try to get them into homes and make people's lives better.
Absolutely.
I don't know about anybody else. But I've got four dogs, and my life is four times better than it would be if I didn't have them.
Absolutely. I've got two cats and a dog myself. I've actually got my cat's names tattooed
Izzy.
On me.
Izzy and Sabbath.
Izzy and Sabbath.
I love
those
it.
Those are my cats. And I wholeheartedly agree. I'm very, I don't know how well I'd do if I didn't have, you know, my cats and my dog in my life. In the past years, have you noticed more people adopting as opposed to buying? Because I know that's been a really big push, not just by the Humane Society, but by a lot of individuals as well.
Yeah.
It's been a really big push to adopt rather than buy, and as you said, save lives. Have you noticed, you know,
it's getting better. It is getting better. It's not good enough. I think the numbers that I saw most recently were 25% of all dogs that are owned and in homes came from shelters. The other 75% have been purchased. You know, we always tell people, and people will disagree with me on this, and, you know, they'll argue with you on this. If you buy, a shelter dog dies. And there's a lot of truth to that.
There is a lot of truth to that.
Because you're making a decision, a conscious decision, to take this animal that you're paying for and bring it into your home. Well, what happens to the animal that's sitting in a shelter there? Well, shelters are all about time and space.
Right.
There's only so much space, and that means there's only so much time.
Right.
And at some point in time, somebody's going to have to make a decision as to whether they're going to continue giving that animal that space. Because
right.
I guarantee you, in the back, where the public doesn't see, there are a lot more animals who are waiting for their chance to come up.
Right.
And so now Sophie's choices have to be made. Now,
right.
if you adopt that animal, take it out of that space and out of that kennel, and into the home, okay, that frees up more space. Here comes another dog that could be adopted, another dog that could be adopted. But if you buy a dog, that animal sits there.
It stays.
And it stays there.
Yeah.
Now, maybe somebody else comes along, but maybe somebody else doesn't.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're always talking about. I wish the numbers were better. I wish they are getting better. The one thing that is getting better is we're getting more people to spay and neuter.
Yes.
I mean, this is a two-pronged approach. You have to get adoptions out there. You've got to get more adoptions done. But if we can cut down on the number of animals, unwanted animals, who are coming into the world, and will not have hope of finding a home
right.
because there's just too many. know with cats. Cats can multiply very quickly.
Yes, they can.
Yes, I think 4 months of age is when they can start to reproduce.
Yep.
And they have litters. And so there's not enough homes for all of these animals. So how do we stop this? Well, we spay, we neuter. Mm-hmm. We do, at the Humane Society of Utah, we'll do roughly 11,000 spay and neuter surgeries a year. And that's with two veterinarians doing it. Yeah, they're working hard.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean,
snip, snip. Yeah. And so, you know, it's and we got to get more cat people to do that. The dog people have kind of got this. Mm-hmm. The cat people, we need you to bring your cats in and get them spayed and neutered. Because, you know, here's the interesting thing, Gavin. I mean, the thing about it is with cats, a lot of people like their cats to be outdoor cats. Now, we always recommend that they remain indoors because it's a dangerous world out there for cats.
Yes, it is.
Even if they have their claws and have not been declawed.
Yes.
But there's dogs, there's cars, mm-hmm. there's the disease, there's all sorts of things that can happen to a cat out there. Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, a lot of people just like to let their cats go. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not the cat police, so we tell them what we think is right, and then it's a free world.
Sure.
You do what you want to do.
Sure.
But if you send a cat out there into the world and it's not spayed and neutered, now we got problems.
Yes.
So at the very least, if you're going to have an outdoor cat, please, whether it's the Humane Society of Utah, your vet, whoever it is, and we try to keep the cost down on spay and neuter so we can encourage people to do it.
Yes.
Please get them spayed and neutered. That's the biggest thing that we can do right now. As you know, people talk about no kill.
Right.
And we're working towards it.
Yes.
We don't hem and haw about it. We're not a no-kill shelter.
Right.
We are an open admission shelter, which means we don't turn any animal away.
Right.
Makes it more difficult to become no-kill when you're that kind of a shelter.
Absolutely.
If you're a shelter that says, well, we're only going to take so many animals, then we're going to just shut our doors and say, well, we're not going to take any more because if we take more, now we got to make hard choices. Well, we're making the hard choices.
Exactly.
But people can make it easier for us if they don't put us in that position by spaying, neutering fewer animals in the world. Let's take care of the ones we have.
Yes, and I actually agree with that. And that's interesting. I'd never really thought that the numbers would be that low for cat spaying and neutering. That's my two cats. As soon as they were of age to get fixed, I was right in.
You are a good human.
That's, you know, I mean, I knew they were going to be indoor cats. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to be indoor-outdoor. They weren't going to be outdoor, anything like that. I'm a little too protective of them, and I know everything that happens.
No, you're doing the right thing.
Even then, it was one of those things, you know, they've got to be spayed and they've got to be neutered.
Sure.
So I didn't know that was...
It's responsible. It's better for the cats.
Right.
The cats are happier.
Oh, yes.
And they live better lives, longer lives, healthier lives.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people still get hung up on this thing about, well, would you want to be spayed or neutered? And you know, which I find to be a kind of an interesting discussion. I guess we could have it on another day, I suppose. But, you know, we're talking about a pet overpopulation problem.
Right.
And what I've told people is think back during the recession when the economy, you know, went into the toilet. The builders stopped building homes because people weren't buying homes. There was an oversupply. Detroit stopped making cars because there were too many cars out there and they couldn't sell them all. Mm-hmm. Did we stop making animals? No.
No.
We continue to produce animals. It's a cottage industry for a lot of people, and I'm not necessarily down on reputable breeders.
Right.
I suppose they have their place, and that's fine.
Sure.
And if they're doing it the right way, that's fine. But we're still adding. We don't have a shortage of animals.
Oh, no.
But we have never stopped producing more animals.
Right.
And therein lies the problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's an interesting thing to think about, Gavin. I always tell people who will tell me, well, you know, I really don't care about it. I don't have a dog or a cat. And I go, oh, no, you do have a dog and a cat. In fact, you have thousands of dogs and cats. Because if you are paying your taxes, which I hope you are, millions of those tax dollars each year go to county animal shelters to control the animal population. Mm. People think that it keeps the street safe.
Right.
it's all it is getting homeless animals off the streets.
Right.
And that's, so you do have a cat, you do have dogs, you do have a stake in this game.
Seen any increase, decrease? Is there, pretty steady
It's been remarkable. It really has been. It sort of restores my faith in mankind a little bit. During this last recession, the last 5, 6, 7 years, when it's been so tough, the donations have stayed steady. And,
oh, excellent.
And people have still been willing to contribute to this. And I know there's people who would probably say, well, there's so many more important causes. And you know, there are a lot of great causes out there. There's so many things that we have to fight. Cancer, and we have to fight, you know, there's just so many, arthritis. I mean, there's so many good causes. And I try to give to as many of them as I possibly can.
Right.
And I think a lot of people try to do that, too. Spread it around as much as you can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a good thing. Animals are important. Animals do improve the quality of our lives, and we do owe them responsibility. If we're going to bring them into the world, we need to take care of them. I mean, it's hey, I got an 18-year-old. He's pretty tough, you know, and you know, we hit some times with him that, you know, I thought, wow, you know, boy, can I send him back? No, you don't do it. And just as with my 18-year-old, you know, my dogs are my children too, just like your cats and dog are for you, and so. Mm-hmm. You know, they're important to us, and so it's been nice to see that they mean something to other people, and that they're willing to dig deep and go into their pocketbooks a little bit, even when times are tough, and still contribute.
Right, Carlo, is there anything else you'd like to say to kind of wrap this up?
Oh, you know, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate all the support that we get from you guys, and you know, I would just encourage people, if they're ever in a position where they can, you know, if you're in an apartment, it doesn't make sense to adopt a Great Pyrenees.
No.
I'll be the first one to tell you that. But if you get into a situation and you can, please, please adopt. Choose adoption. The dogs that are there that will be bought and that are being sold, and that's a whole nother half hour probably talking about. The internet has been kind of a double-edged sword for animal welfare. In a lot of ways it helps, in a lot of ways it hurts. And I think it's led to more animals being bred because it's much easier for them to sell their animals now. And people, I understand, they're hurting. They've got to make some money, and this is an easy way to do it. You take your two dogs, you breed them, you have a litter of puppies, you know, you can make a couple of grand, never have to pay taxes on it, it's all cash and that type of thing. By the way, it's a dangerous way to do it.
Yes.
It's a dangerous way to purchase or to obtain an animal, because when you do it that way, a lot of times you're dealing with people who don't have a bricks and mortar business front. There's no recourse if something goes wrong, and believe me, you'd be shocked how many times it goes wrong, and we know this because we're the ones who see it after the breeder or the seller of the animal is long gone, and that animal has parvo or a genetic disease of some sort, or some sort of immune deficiency, that animal gets brought to us, and then we have to deal with that. And so be very careful. Go to a reputable shelter. If it's the Humane Society of Utah, great. If it's the Davis County Shelter, if it's the West Valley Shelter, it's any shelter in your community, and help them out a little bit. You know, if you can leave $5, whatever it is, donate to them, but choose adoption over buying. That's my mantra.
That's a good mantra.
That's my mantra.
Slug, adopt that mantra. Slug listeners, that is, adopt that mantra. Definitely adopt an animal, and to quote Bob Barker, have your pet spayed or neutered.
Yes, yes. And just enjoy. They're so much fun, and they bring so much pleasure to your life.
They do.
And, you know, and the other thing is if you lose a pet, you know, the best bit of advice I ever got, and I've lost several pets, obviously, during the course of my life, and that's part of, we understand that when we get into this whole deal with them, the agreement that we make to take them into our houses and make them part of our lives is they're going to live a shorter life, and at some point in time we're going to have to say goodbye.
Yes.
Great bit of advice I got from a very wise woman was, you get to mourn, but you don't get to wait. And
very
I had to think
advice.
About it, but it's very good advice, because there are so many animals waiting right now. And so, you know what? The animal you lose would want you to give another animal that same opportunity.
Absolutely.
And so give yourself a couple of days, get back on the horse.
Absolutely.
Do it again.
Absolutely. And if you are in any position at all to either donate to the Humane Society or to adopt an animal, that is what I would strongly suggest. Definitely do so.
For more information on the organization, the programs, and volunteer aspects and adoptions, visit them online at utahhumane.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Sound Waves from the Underground. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit slugmag.com and do it every damn day, if not multiple times a day. Well, anybody who's a basketball fan out there knows that the Utah Jazz season has been done for a little while now, and yet our own Mike Brown cannot stop obsessing over their disastrous finale of the season. So we're going to bring Mike in to chat about it. We want to know what you would like to talk about concerning our very own NBA franchise here in Salt Lake City. Hit us up with some questions or suggestions at soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This podcast, as always, was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design is by T. Doan and technical design by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune in once again next week for Problem Daughter information, Project 801 info, and Mike Brown talking all about them Jazz. Thank you very much.